Icons look like. For Bootstrap, Font Awesome, Ionic, Octicon, two more. I forgot what they are. Yes?
Glyph icon is about to go away.
Say what?
Yes,
glyph icons will not be part of Bootstrap 4, and yes, we are aware of that. But it also works with other things. So that's what I'm saying. Right now, we look for Bootstrap in the project. We will be looking for Font Awesome and other things as well when we get closer to our TIM. So now we can simply just say phone, save this, go back here, refresh the page, and we now have the phone icon. So I think this is like sort of new for us, that we kind of try to get third-party extensions closer to the end user that might need them. We know that only very few people actually use extensions. They simply don't know if they exist. So opening up this way is like a really, really cool way of getting that extra features to the people that need it. Yes, sir?
Do you have that suggestion bar to be a curated list?
Yeah, is it going to be a curated list, or is any extension going to show up? It's definitely going to be a curated list. Right, yes. With the icon dropdown, more and more projects has their own web fonts. Is this something they can hook into? Yes, it totally is. That would require they write an extension or send a pull request to this extension that already exists. But yes, that's possible. We added this specifically in Visual Studio 2015 RC because Ryan Williams wanted to add this feature. And we were like, yes, that's awesome. But we didn't have an API for him to do that. So we added the API, and he released this extension for RC. He just released an update like a couple of days ago. So yes, this is all public APIs. Everyone can party on this. If you want to talk more about writing extensions, let's talk afterwards. But it makes sense, right? Add, like suggest all these extensions. We know that there are risks. So we're actually saying there's a checkbox. That's going to be a checkbox saying, hey, I agree or I understand the risks of installing third-party extensions. All right, so we want to be very clear that it's an opt-in thing, OK? All right. So here I have, this is a MVC5 app. It doesn't really matter what type of app this is. It could be a console, could be ASP.NET 5. But I got a lot of files here. So let's look at CoffeeScript. But let's actually not. Let's look down here. We're running a tool here called CoffeeLint. Okay? Let's open a JavaScript file. Now we're running ESLint. And for CSS, we're running CSSLint. TypeScript, we're running TSLint. JSX, we're running ESLint with JSX enabled. These are the actual node modules running in the background, running static analysis on our files here. And you notice maybe how fast this was, right? Do any of you run JS Hint or anything like that today? Hands up. All right, how many people here of the ones that had their hands up do it through Gulp or Grunt? Okay, and how many use an extension for it? Just a handful, okay. So we want to build this in. Right? We really want to build this in. We should have built it in many years ago. We've had so much feedback that people really want that because it's good for code consistency among a team. It's also really good for open source. So you won't take a pull request, for instance, unless some of these things are, you know, up to coding standard. And these linters check for two things. Like one of them is sort of the FX cop. Like you did something you may not want to do. You could do this better. And the other one is sort of stylistic. Right? So for JavaScript, it could be you're missing a semicolon or too many white spaces or something like that. Okay. So it's best of both. Yep?
Where are the configuration portals in here?
These are all configured, so the configuration for each of these linters are all in your user profile. So the way it works, or the way hopefully it will work, is something like this. So by the way, this is the this is an extension called Web Analyzer that's very new. This is sort of the prototype of what we want to build in. And if we go up to Tools, Web Analyzer, we can edit these files right here. So let's edit ESLint. So we get our JavaScript, or sorry, JSON file here. And here we can see all the rules. And of course, we get like full IntelliSense and all this stuff. Because we added the JSON editor, right? So it all makes sense. But we're not going to make this in a way that works at compile time or like CI. The idea is that we want to make this just for VS, right? Because we think this is more of a tooling thing. And also, well, it's also a lot easier if it doesn't have to work in CI server, right? But also because this is sort of a design time help, not so much a compile time help. Do you think that makes sense? Is this something that's important to you that it would have to be on a CI server?
We would have to set it up anyway at some point if the developer is committing code without maybe using Visual Studio or just editing a file with Sublime and committing it back. At some point, the next developer is going to get latest and open it up. It's going to blow in his face because there's going to be some errors. But we're obviously going to need to run that on the server in a CI anyway.
Right, so it has to run on the CI is one answer here. If it was just a command line, that's it. All right.
Because then you can run it on a CI server anywhere, it's automatable.
So yep.
Just command line suits the purposes.
All right, that's good to know. So that's probably the way that it's going to be. It's going to be like command line, but exactly how we don't know yet. We can either run it as a node server, which this is. It's actually HTTP on a node server that we stand up. Or it can be using Gulp Watch. Right? In the background, out of the project, living somewhere else, but actually using the Gulp task runner in the background to handle this. Because that makes it really easy to then copy that Gulp file into your project if you want to enable the CI scenario. So what's really cool actually about this, so let's just close all this. Let's open the job.
The settings in the user profile is not feasible.
I'll get to that. I'll return to that in a second. So what's really cool about these linters are that they actually give us really nice validation here. So we can really do awesome tooling here. We can also make red squigglies in JavaScript and TypeScript and so on to make this an experience that goes beyond like the regular Gulp version of this stuff, right? The problem with Gulp is that, well, you have to look at the error showing up in a console window, whether it be TaskRunner Explorer in Visual Studio or an actual console window. We can integrate this completely, and that's the plan. And so that also means if we want to copy, if we want to have a local version of these rules, let's do that. So they are in. Somewhere in the user profile, ESLintRC, okay? This is the JavaScript one. So let's just add this to the project. So we had two errors. One of them was it was complaining about a missing semicolon. So let's find that. So the way this one works is that right now semicolon is a warning. I can make that an error by making this two. And then we just save the file, and now it's an error, okay? Or if you don't want it at all, we can make it zero, save it, and now it's gone, right? So the way it works is that it looks all the way up from your project root, or actually from the file that it's linting, all the way up to the root of the drive to look for this file. If it doesn't find it, it's gonna look in the user profile. So you can make it per project, you can make it per solution, you can make it anything you want, as long as it follows the path, okay? And we do have some settings here. Web Analyzer. So a few things here, like what should happen on build, on, you know, when you clean, do you want to enable all of them, and so on. And so it automatically figures out which files to lint and which not to, which to ignore. Like if it's a compiler output, if it's nested under other files and so on, it will not lint those files. So the whole idea, we can use Gulp. So there is a big issue with Gulp and Grunt and all these things. First of all, it's new to a lot of people. Second of all, what is this node underscore modules with a lot of stuff in my project? How does that work with TFS, Git, and so on? How do I publish it? Do I publish it? And so on. We have tooling in our projects. Even though that's sort of cool, I think that's sort of cool, it is quite the opposite for a lot of people. So having something like this that is just tooling, it just lights up with zero artifacts in your project, that's really, really powerful. So what about compiling? So here's an empty project. So how do we compile stuff like less, SAS, and so on? Well, let's add a, do you know this extension? Add new file. So I can just hit Shift F2, I get this, and create a folder called less, variables.less. Here we are. So let's create a variable. Right, like this. And let's create another file called site.less. And let's import this. Of course you get like nice IntelliSense, all this sort of stuff. So normally I would add a gulp or a grunt or brunch or broccoli. Task runner. And that's all cool, but I just want to compile less. I don't care about, I don't want all this stuff in my project, all the node modules, all this boilerplate that I have to do every single time. Edit the gulp file. Okay? I totally understand why people don't want to do this, especially for, let's say this is a very simple little website. Why would you want to do that? Well, what if you didn't have to? What if we could simply go to our less file and say compile file? Okay? And we can now see we have the CSS file right here. And it does the right thing. It even says generated, so I don't by accident think I should edit this file, right? Because it's going to be overwritten. Whenever I change the source files. And in this case, the source files are both site-less and whatever site-less imports, so variables-less. So let's change the color here. And we can see the site.css output file is already compiled. Just beef up the font here. So every time I make a change to the source file, this happens. The only artifacts in my project is this compiler config file. And this is what it says. What is the input file? What is the output file? Okay, so this is a prototype. It's probably going to be source and destination with glopping patterns and all this sort of stuff, right? But in most cases, this is all you need. And so we could change this to, what should the output be, right? .root/css. This location doesn't even exist. As soon as I save the file, we have the output right here. So now we can delete this, right? And the output is now right there. We also get this other file with defaults. So this allows us to say, for this project, here are my defaults for all these different languages that I want to compile. So less, and what do we have here? SAS, stylus, Babel compilers, CoffeeScript, and also minifiers. How do we want to minify things? They're all here, right? Of course, with full IntelliSense and all this sort of stuff that we come to expect from Visual Studio. And so, say what again?
What is a Cerus map?
Okay, I have to, one more time.
What is a Cerus map root?
What is the source map?
Cerus.
Oh yeah, that is a typo. Yes. Yes, that is a typo. Don't worry about that. As I said, this is a prototype. Right. So the idea is this. These are the artifacts that you have. You actually don't need the default one at all. The default, because I just generated based on the defaults, are exactly what you see here. So if you don't want to make any modifications to this, you can safely remove that file. There's no other artifacts in your project. You can make all the changes here you want. So let's go into our less file. And let's do something that requires maybe a WebKit vendor specific thing here. So let's go to this auto prefix. So the last two versions, or any browser that freezes VS. Come on, there we go. And I save that file. And now you can see I got my WebKit animation. Right, so a lot of the stuff we use Gulp for is to pipe these different things. First, I want to compile my less file to CSS. Then I want to auto prefix. Then I want to run CSS comb so that when I gzip it gets a little better. And then I want to minify and so on. But it's sort of the same things that we do all the time. We always want to follow these same patterns, but we have to write the same gulp file JS every time, boilerplate, set all this stuff up. And so we think we've looked at sort of the top 30 different node modules that people use with gulp and grunt. And we believe just with this simple JSON, which is 100% toolable, which JavaScript is not, this is 100% toolable, like right-click actions and so on, that we can get probably 95% of what people want, what they have in their gulp flows today. Okay?
Awesome, by the way.
Yeah. And of course, you can go in and say, okay, for this specific file, I want override, right? So I want different options. So I can say, okay, I may have my defaults, but for this specific less file I'm compiling, I want, you know, IE compat to be false, right? So we can have our project defaults and change them as we want. The cool thing here is the only boilerplate there is, if you want to have like custom defaults, is that you may want to copy the last one you have, the last defaults file, into the new project to get the same behavior, right? We might be able to figure out other ways to do that. So maybe the same way where we look in the user profile or opt-the-folder hierarchy. We haven't really figured that out yet. But that's basically it. No, this is, so this, if you want to try this out, it's in an extension called Web Compiler. Okay? Yeah. Yes? Okay, so this and the linters are for RTM. We hope that we get the linters ready for RC2.
So this is now a Visual Studio full editor specific, right? So how is it going to play around with the cross-platform R,
right,
the build experience? You know, typically, we went Gulp because, okay, when I do build, yeah, I could run the Gulp task.
Right, so the question is, how does this then work in like the cross-plat scenario? Like, we need to be able to compile this. If this is Visual Studio only, how does it work when I have a colleague in Visual Studio Code on a Mac, you know, working on the same project? I'm glad you asked, because the way we've kind of done that, and I have to go back here. So right now, I only have the MS build task for this for, not for ASP.NET 5 yet. But I can right-click compile a config and say enable compile on build. Let's just remove that, just so we can see what happens. Now let's build this project. Okay, so let's clear this. Let's right-click and say enable compile on build. Do you want to install a NuGet package? Blah, blah, blah. Yes. Now this NuGet package does not add anything at all to our project. It doesn't write to the csproj file. It doesn't touch our project at all. Okay? But it contains a targets file. Okay, it takes a little while here. The interwebs is a little slow. Here we go, and let's build. And here you can see what happens. Web compiler compiles all our stuff. Okay. So this is a command line tool. So you can, there's an exe, and you can call the exe and pass it as the first parameter, the path to the compiler config.json file, and it will just do this. Right, it's completely standalone. Obviously, exe does not work on a Mac. But we can rewrite that exe to a .NET Core, right? Assembly that can run anywhere. So that's one way of doing it. Another way is sort of what I was talking about before, is to have Gulp do all of this in the background. So this is all Node. So it's very important to notice that all I've shown you here is the exact same Node modules that you would use yourself, right, in Gulp or elsewhere. So we can have Gulp in the background run all this. And that means that based on that JSON file, we can produce gulpfile.js, okay? We know how to go from JSON to JavaScript. It's the other way that we can't. But we can go from JSON to JavaScript. So somewhere in the background, we can create that Gulp file and run that and use its own watch task to make this happen every time you save the file and all that. And so the cross-plat story could be that a gulpfile.js is actually running in your project, or you can right-click and say convert to Gulp, or something similar. Or a JavaScript file can be sped out that you can include into your own Gulp file, for instance. Right? The whole key here is if we do it through Gulp, then we are 100% sure that it will work if we give you that Gulp file to run on a CI server, okay? We don't really know if we can do that. we haven't tried, right? So we don't really know. Yep?
One thing that you just kind of answered is how does one grow out of this scenario? So I'm starting a small application, and I use these helpers.
Yep.
It's fine. But small applications tend to grow up, and developers tend to grow up. So they decide, okay, this is really great, but I want to stray just a bit out of the regular path.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the question is, well, what is the grow-up path here? If I want to start with a small project and I just want to use this because it's convenient and easy, but you know, projects tend to grow, and then what happens when we have this larger app and I may want to run Gulp because now my requirements are those 5% we can't cover, or 10%, you know, where JSON cannot express exactly what it is we need and we need to go full Gulp, for instance. Like, what is the grow-up story? Well, that is exactly that you can then export it to Gulp, convert the JSON file into a Gulp file, and then you could party on. Another thing that we've been playing around with is, what if every time you made a change to the JSON file, it would just create a nested JavaScript file under it that you could require into your Gulp file that would have all the definitions and all that sort of stuff that you can then use. So that means you can maintain the tooling in Visual Studio, like right-clicking and all that sort of stuff, and it will just work in Gulp as well, because it would just update that JavaScript file that you're going to use. Another thing here that's really interesting is because all the gulp stuff is very boilerplate, you have to set it up every time, and it's kind of annoying. You can use this tooling to say, okay, right-click here, compile this file, minify that file, you know, concatenate, and blah, blah, blah. And you can express that all by simply right-clicking and keyboard shortcuts in Visual Studio, and that builds up your JSON file. And then I say, okay, now it's working, convert to gulp. Right? Because my intent was to use gulp all along. I just want a quick start. So it will be good for that too. Does this all make sense? Like, do you think this is a good idea? Yeah? How many people here use Less and SAS and all these compilers, TypeScript, CoffeeScript, so on? Wow. That's like half the room. Okay. And do you think that gulp and grunt and so on is a little too much for what you need today? No? Yes? Okay, a little mixed. So this is not for everyone, right? And we do realize that. But you know, I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited that we can do this. I'm very excited that we can do it already for hopefully update 2. But it might take an iteration or two to get absolutely right. All right. Any more questions? No? I actually have like a slide at the end here as the only one today, I think. So thank you very much.